Everyone loves football.
This is First and Ten.
Go to Giants!
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to First and Ten. I'm David Gow, sitting next to Carla Dawson. How are you this morning?
I am good. I gotta love that NFL, the gift that keeps on giving. We got NBA's kicking up, the World Series in, and we have so much to talk about in the NFL.
And we have Ron Culver behind the glass. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, kids.
The gold standard.
He is the one. All right, so Thursday night, we have Thursday Night Football. Interesting matchup.
I'm excited.
Redskins, Vikings. Mm-hmm. A fun matchup for many reasons, but it wasn't that long ago, of course, when the two quarterbacks were playing for the other teams. Case Keenum for the Vikings and Kirk Cousins for the Redskins.
How crazy is that? And what a difference a couple weeks makes. I mean, the first couple weeks of the season, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, ready to beat it the heck out of Minnesota, calling out their quarterback, and now they can't get enough.
I thought Stephon Diggs was going to wink his way out of town, and he's winking back and saying smiling things. He's happy again.
I know. You know, the past three games, Cousins has had over 300 yards. The difference? The play-action pass. He actually went to that. They had a terrible, 20-something in the league the first few games. Now they're first in the NFL in the last three games for play action pass. There's your answer. So is he worth his contract?
Well, that's a big question. And it is interesting thinking, because it wasn't that long ago we were looking at the Redskins and they let, quote, their franchise quarterback walk. And looking back as we have, that big deal, that three-year deal that Kirk Cousins signed with the Vikings, well, we're about a year and a half into it. And he's been above average, but certainly not a franchise quarterback.
$84 million, fully guaranteed, fully.
Well, that plus the franchise tag money he was getting for the Redskins, he's been perhaps the top paid quarterback over the last few years. He's certainly played the money game very well. Also of note in the NFL, a number of trades. We'll have to break them down. Patriots pick up a wide receiver. They need them, yes. And, well, there's some potential trades still in the air. When we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Clark Judge. He's one of the premier NFL analysts. And we'll ask him, is Cam Newton going to remain on the Panthers, or will he be dealt at the deadline? It'll be Clark Judge when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is First and Ten on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. Good morning, First and Ten. And we are sitting here 5 days from the NFL trading deadline. A couple of big trades have already happened. Patriots got a wide receiver, and that is something they really needed to do.
Do you think they overpaid for Mohamed Sanu out of Atlanta? 30 years old, had a second rounder.
I put it this way. I think the Falcons did well for themselves. He's a 30-year-old receiver who really wasn't integral to their offense. He was getting declining productivity. But for the Patriots and their need and what they can do with Mohamed Sanu, I think it's a good fit. I think it was worth what will be a late second-round pick for the Patriots. Sanu, by all accounts, is a smart wide receiver. He runs great routes. He will be where he's supposed to be, which Brady will love. And he's very good at reading defenses real time. He'll sit down in the zone when it's there. He'll keep going when it's a man coverage. So I think he really does fit well with that Patriot offense.
I do, too. And I think he was not used well in Atlanta. Shocking. Is anyone used well in Atlanta at this point? But Sanu is 30 years old. But he's in his eight-year NFL career, has never topped 900 yards, has never scored even six touchdowns in a season. So to me, that's not as much a reflection on his talent as it is not being well utilized in Atlanta. And let's give the Patriots credit. They absolutely know who they are, meaning they have the ability to leverage, you know, what they do well and cover up their weaknesses. So I think it's a great trade.
All right, joining us now is the venerable one, Clark Judge. He is a Hall of Fame voter for the NFL. Clark, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing great and eager to dive into all things NFL with you. Let me begin by looking across the league. It seems to be a year where backup quarterbacks are performing well. Of all the backup quarterbacks who have stepped into starting roles, who do you like the best?
Teddy Bridgewater. I like what he's done with New Orleans. I mean, yep. We thought that the Saints would be lucky to be 500 without Drew Brees, and they haven't lost a game. And if he were to start this weekend, they'd be 6-0 with him. I don't know whether he's going to start this weekend or not, but he's done a terrific job. Certainly Kyle Allen has as well in Carolina, but Teddy Bridgewater's my guy.
Okay, you raised Kyle Allen, which is intriguing now because there are whispers that Cam Newton might get traded at the deadline. Is that really possible that the Panthers would bet on Kyle Allen based on what they've seen and trade Cam Newton?
I think it's possible. I don't think it's going to happen simply because you're banking on someone with a history of, what, five games, five starts. Now he's 5-0, 4-0 this year, but that's a very small sample size. Cam Newton was the first pick of the draft for a reason. GM Marty Herney felt that he was the best player in the country and is really attached to him. I think Marty thinks that this guy is something special. I realize that he's damaged. He's been hurt. The question is, how badly is he hurt? I don't know what they know in terms of what are we looking at going forward. Is he going to be a broken quarterback going forward? How badly is he hurt in terms of are these injuries going to be a recurring problem? If that's an issue, I think they'd be willing to listen. But Cam Newton, to me, is going to be the starter there. Now, could he move after this year? I think that's very possible. But I'd like to see more out of Kyle Allen, and I think the Panthers would as well. And to me, there's no sense in trying to hurry Cam Newton back. Why not find out what you've got with Kyle Allen, because you haven't lost with him. You haven't lost. And Cam Newton's last eight starts with them, he was 0-8.
Clark, good morning. So glad you're with us. Got a question for you about the Tennessee-Tampa Bay matchup this weekend. So you've got two, you know, Heisman-winning quarterbacks in Winston and Mariota. Strange. Winston's coming off a five-interception game. Mariota's coming off, well, the bench, watching Tannehill take over and win for the Titans. Both have been sacked 25 times each, you know, due to their horrible offensive lines. At this point, are either of them worthy of contract extensions, in your opinion, or are these franchises going to move on from these players? And is the turnover in coaches and offensive coordinators, especially in Tennessee and head coaches in Tampa Bay, a big factor for the issues that these two quarterbacks are having?
Wow, a lot of questions there.
I know, first, sorry. I just had to get it all out there.
Yeah. In answer to your first question, I'd say the answer is no, that they're not worthy of contract extensions. I think Mariota definitely will be with somebody next year. Jameis Winston, I'm not so sure, only because Bruce Arians is what? The quarterback whisperer, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he's supposed to be. And Winston has had moments of goodness and sometimes greatness this year. Some moments, but he's also, Jameis Winston turns the ball over a zillion times. You saw that game in London where he had, I think, five interceptions. But if Arians can't correct him this year, then he's gone too. So I think they're both on the ledge. Mariota, to me, I think it's more likely than not that he won't be back, and that's not really going out on a limb. They sat him, you know, last week. They sat him for a reason. Mm-hmm. They're disappointed in him. Does the turnover in offense coordinators have an impact? Of course it does. But guys have overcome that before. Remember Alex Smith talking about that at one time. He overcame that. You know, he became a successful quarterback. And if you can't overcome that, then you're going to move on. And as I said, I think one, if not both of these guys will move on.
We're talking to Clark Judge, NFL guru, Hall of Fame voter. Let me ask you about one of the two trades. Emmanuel Sanders going to the 49ers. What does he bring to the 49ers?
Well, he brings a reliable set of hands, and this is a guy who's been a Pro Bowl receiver and with successful franchises in the past, Pittsburgh, Denver, very dependable receiver, and I think really a guy who can bring some experience to a young team and a young group of receivers, and I think he's perfect for that ball club. Jimmy Garoppolo has struggled a little bit this year. You know, I know he's turned the ball over and everything, but the fact of the matter is they're winning games, and they haven't lost a game. And he's 14-2 as a starter. Well, there's a reason he's 14-2. He's a good leader. There's more to quarterbacks than passer ratings and touchdowns and interceptions. And so I think what he gives him is a reliable receiver, much like a Julian Edelman in New England. I mean, is Julian Edelman a Hall of Fame receiver? No, he's not. But he's a reliable set of hands, a very, very good receiver, and a guy that Tom Brady trusts. Maybe Emmanuel Sanders can be that Julian Edelman for Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think they need somebody like that. They have some people who can stretch the field, but this is a guy who can give them intermediate receiver who, again, is a dependable, reliable set of hands who I think will be a go-to guy for the quarterback, that being Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay, the other wide receiver trade, Mohamed Sanu to the Patriots. How do you break down that deal?
Yeah, same thing here. I mean, I love Sanu when he was with Atlanta. Do I think New England gave up a lot? Yeah, second-round draft pick. When I saw that trade, I thought, well, they must have given up a fourth or fifth or a sixth or something like that. And he's 30 years old, so he's not young. And you know, Sanders is, what, 32? He's not young either. But what I like about the Patriots is what I loved about the 49ers when I covered them in the 90s. They target people that they really covet, people they think can really help them. And so they do what they can to get them. And then people say, we paid too much. Well, it doesn't matter if it gets you to the top. And New England needs that. Another set of, like I said, reliable hands like Edelman. Sanu is a great slot receiver and kind of got lost in the shuffle there when Calvin Ridley showed up with Julio Jones on one side, Ridley on the other. Kind of got lost there, but he was, I remember when he was in Cincinnati, and I knew the coaching staff in Cincinnati very well, and the offense coordinator told me the biggest loss we had here was Mohamed Sanu. He was a guy that Andy Dalton could always go to, and he was reliable, he was dependable, and we always knew we were going to get first downs with him if he got the ball. I think the same thing here. Edelman's taken on so much of that load in terms of catching the ball, and especially now with Josh Gordon out of the mix. You know, who's going to be that guy that Brady's going to rely on other than Edelman? There's no Gronk there anymore, so maybe it'll be Sanu. He is a very sure set of hands who's trouble for defenders to cover, but he just got lost in Atlanta. He goes to a team that may have overpaid in terms of what we think, but what the Patriots think is what matters most. If they get out of him what they expect, they didn't overpay, and they want a guy who can get him to the top. They need help at that role in that receiving department, and I think this guy can give it to him.
Clark, you mentioned Atlanta, and is it fair that we can stop the Super Bowl hangover talk now? What is going on in Atlanta?
They stink. I don't know. I mean, Dan Quinn, the clock's ticking on my feel for him. They haven't had a sack in 4 weeks. I mean, it's over a month. They haven't had a sack, so the defense is just collapsed. And that was a defense that harassed and harried Tom Brady two Super Bowls ago when they were up 28-3. And you looked at those guys and thought, boy, I mean, they're really on the upswing. This could be a good team for a few years. They've had some injuries, some defections. It's just collapsing now, and Matt Ryan's hurt. It just seems like the window's closed. I watched that game last week, and there was no pulse to him. And that's why I just think that the clock's ticking on Dan, because, listen, he's a likable guy. He's a successful guy. But it seems as if his time has passed, and that team just has no life to it. And as I mentioned last week, there's just no fight in them. And I feel for him and that team, but they've just been depleted. And honestly, defensively, they just can't stop anyone. Well, it's tough to keep up with the defense when they can't make a stop. And I've covered teams like that. But Matt Ryan, people say, look at the stats he has this year. So he's playing from behind. That's why. And now without Matt Ryan, if you don't have him, what do you have? And the answer is nothing. I mean, Matt Schaub is you know, there, and he's a guy you can count on for one or two wins or something like that, but not a guy you're going to start regularly. I mean, if you had him 10 years ago, you might. But it's just a team that's unfortunately sort of, I think the window's closed on them, and they've got to start anew, and I would expect that there would be some kind of house cleaning there starting at the top.
We're talking to Clark Judge. So one more question I want to ask you. We're 5 days from the trade deadline. There are rumors that O.J. Howard, Vic Beasley, others might get traded. What big name or two might you highlight to get traded at the deadline?
Well, yeah, I'd say Beasley might be one of those guys, because at some point, Atlanta, and I'm sure they've reached that point already, got to say, listen, you know, it's over. We've got to start retooling for the future and getting draft picks. And that's a team that is not doing anything. As I mentioned, they've got all sorts of defensive liabilities. Vic Beasley's one. The guy used to sack the quarterback. They don't sack anyone anymore. Maybe somebody can get something out of him, so you move on. O.J. Howard, another team that is kind of at the bottom, you know, and you look at that club and say, well, do they have a future, or what are they going to do with him? There's someone who had covered him, you know, someone like New England, you know, because New England has tight end issues. Would they give up a reasonably high draft pick for him? They gave up a high draft pick for Mohamed Sanu. Would they do that for him? So I think those are two names that are possible. You mentioned Cam Newton. I don't expect that to happen. You hear OBJ's name mentioned. That's not going to happen. So I don't know that there's going to be a flurry of activity, but I think that you've got to start looking at those bottom feeders, those teams that are going nowhere, and just start looking at, you know, Miami to start with, except the cupboard's bare there. I mean, they really have nothing left. They got rid of all their players.
Right.
So maybe Kenyon Drake is somebody, but you look at the bottom feeders and start from there because they're looking for the future and the future's draft picks.
Clark Judge, thank you so much for joining us.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Take care.
You're listening to First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
One out of four batteries is going to fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during Superstar Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstar battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, great to speak to Clark Judge. He knows things NFL, and he does look for some more trades at the deadline. O.J. Howard would be an exceptional pickup for the Patriots. In fact, they need a tight end.
They can pull that up.
That's a great fit for that Patriots offense. And then O.J. Howard with Mohamed Sanu, you round out Edelman, N'Keal Harry comes back, the rookie. That would give the receiving core to Tom Brady that he really needs if they want to get to the Super Bowl victory again.
And Josh Gordon's now in the IR, and if he remains healthy after the trade deadline or gets healthy, doesn't he go to waivers?
And yeah, Gordon's gone. So the interesting thing is Gordon, Antonio Brown, and Demaryius Thomas, three big names that they had at one point, are now all off the radar. So they needed to restock the shelf there, and they've done it with this trade for Mohamed Sanu. Great trade there. One thing that Clark Judge said that I might disagree with, he was skeptical that the Panthers, at this small sample size, would double down on Kyle Allen and trade Cam Newton. I think it's entirely possible they trade Cam Newton. And I think it's both a positive statement about Kyle Allen, and he has been exceptional. He's 5-0 as a starter. But also a concerning statement about where Cam Newton is. He was always a guy who depended upon great athleticism.
Yes.
And he has been beat up. And I don't know if he has that athleticism going forward. He's never been the pure pocket passer, the guy who can step back, make a quick read, quick release, get the ball into the hands of receivers. That's not who he is. So, yes, I think the Panthers are open to trading Cam Newton and maybe should trade Cam Newton in the next 5 days before the deadline.
See, I don't know if trading him before the deadline is going to happen because, and this is what I would say, when you look at his MVP season where he lost in the Super Bowl at Levi Stadium, I mean, it was his athleticism in that, you know, he was doing flips into the end zone and all this kind of business. That was a season when he was healthy.
Yep.
That's a rare time for Cam Newton, for sure. I think if you're the Carolina Panthers, it's tough to have a fair evaluation of him when he has been injured. Shoulder, foot. So I think they would need to see more of a sample size of him because they know when he's healthy, he's the league MVP. He can take that team to the Super Bowl.
That feels like a long time ago right now.
I know it does. But I think when you have a talent like that, you just really, and I don't know, if you don't believe he can get healthy and stay healthy, I mean, they know what's going on with the medical reports. We don't. Then you do trade him. But I think if you don't, you wait and see for a healthy sample because Kyle Allen is, frankly, he's Kyle Allen. He couldn't find a place in college.
Right.
Ended up at U of H to finish. So, you know, and didn't do anything fabulous. Couldn't earn the starting job at A&M.
Discussions, though, whether it's the next 5 days or it could be in the offseason, is where Cam Newton would land. And there's a short list of teams, and it's almost comical to look at some of them. One of them, the Denver Broncos, because, every year they start with a different quarterback.
Well, I mean, since Peyton Manning
won
a Super Bowl for the Broncos, they've had three head coaches and over 12 quarterbacks.
Ouch.
Now, explain to me, when your GM was a unreal quarterback in the NFL, why can't he get that right?
Yeah, John Elway, one of the top three quarterbacks by my estimation, who ever played the game.
And also a freakish athlete like Cam.
Well, he's been less successful at picking quarterbacks than he has been as a player at quarterback. But maybe that's part of the issue. John Elway was so gifted physically. His arm was a cannon. And when that ball came out, remember there was the Elway cross they used to put on receiver's chest because the ball would come and hit them so hard. He was so gifted physically. His arm, his ability to move around, and his total physical size and stature that maybe he isn't good at evaluating the other elements of quarterbacking. There are many other quarterbacks out there who will never have his physical attributes, who have had to depend upon quick decision-making, field vision, those sorts of softer skill sets that aren't visible to the naked eye.
The finesse.
The finesse side of the game. And maybe that's hard for him to evaluate because that's not the thing on which he relied most of his career.
You don't think the Joe Flacco experiment is a big hit?
Well, so that's why, unfortunately, the rumors of Cam Newton to Denver are out there.
That's not nice of me.
I mean, the other one is, speaking of another devastating pick, is Chicago because they picked Trubisky number one overall. They could have had both either Mahomes or Watson. They traded up for Trubisky. They could have had either without trading up. I mean, it's a disaster pick, just a disaster that set that franchise back years.
I mean, it's one thing that you missed on your pick.
Sure.
But you actually traded up to grab this guy. And I know I say this, but I just think it needs to be said that Trubisky did not come from Alabama, Texas, A&M, Georgia. No, no, no. He came from the powerhouse known as University of North Carolina. And the last time we saw Mitchell Trubisky in college action, he was playing in El Paso, Texas at the Sun Bowl versus Stanford's second string quarterback because Kellen Christ had gone down with an ACL injury and lost. And even having that look, that visual, Chicago felt the need to trade up and grab him when you've got Mahomes, as you mentioned, and Watson in the same draft. I mean, ouch. That's
a big ouch. Huge ouch.
And they're seeing the effects of that ouch. He is not coming along as they had hoped.
So they are now seemingly what the Jaguars were a couple years ago, a team that seemingly has all the pieces of very good defense. But the Jaguars had Blake Bortles at quarterback. Seemingly the Jaguars had everything else, but they didn't have a really good quarterback. Bears feel like that kind of a team. And that's why the notion that, oh, bring Cam Newton in and then you'll have the rounded out team. I'm less enthusiastic about Cam Newton and what he could do for the Bears, but that is the basis of that rumor.
Well, you really are thinking he's getting moved. I can't wait to see how this plays out. You could be right. You're pretty darn smart.
Well, if I were the Panthers, I look at where I am, I think that Kyle Allen has come to put Cam to bench Kyle Allen and bring back Cam Newton right now is a bad move for this season. And right now you could set yourself up for next season. I think that Cam Newton's going to be a first round, is worth a first round draft pick for somebody. Somebody will pay that price.
Definitely.
And so I'd grab that pick from a very poor team, which would be a high pick, and get a difference maker that would round out Kyle Allen next year.
I mean, well, I'm not sure that they will pull the trigger in this next 5 days on Cam Newton. I do agree. You stick with Kyle Allen. It's working. He is 5-0 since he's come in. Why would you change something that's not broken? And Cam Newton is 0-8 in his last 8 starts. Again, he has not been healthy. It's not a fair representation, but the numbers are the numbers, which also brings about, you look at another 5-0 quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes.
Drew Brees is practicing this week. He says he's ready. I don't know. If I'm looking at New Orleans' schedule. Drew Brees is 40. And you know, I know if I'm Sean Payton, I want him. I want him at the end of the season. I want him in the playoffs. I want him in the Super Bowl. Do you need to rush to bring him back this Sunday?
Well, you certainly don't want to rush him. I would take my time. I'd make sure he's an absolute 100% healthy. That's the luxury that Teddy Bridgewater has provided to the New Orleans Saints. The time,
love me some Teddy.
Oh, he's been exceptional.
And he's been exceptional.
If I were looking to pick up Teddy Bridgewater, my only concern would be, what does he do without Sean Payton and his coach? I mean, if I were the Titans trying to plug him into my team next year.
He did great in Minnesota before he got hurt.
He had his moments there.
Yeah.
He had his moments. All right, when we come back, we'll look at the big games coming up this weekend. You're listening to First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
This is First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Okay, when we went to break, we were talking about the Saints, how well they played with Teddy Bridgewater. Drew Brees coming back. I guess they feel he's 100% healthy because there's really no reason to rush him.
No, and they're facing Arizona. Although, who is on a three-game winning streak, so I'm going to give them that. But they don't.
Don't sell Arizona short. There were whispers that the Cardinals might be buyers at the deadline, not sellers. I mean, there were whispers that Patrick Peterson would get traded.
Right.
Cardinals have disavowed that notion. And then there are rumors now that the Cardinals might go out and get, say, a Leonard Williams from the Jets. Mm-hmm. Jets should be or could be sellers here. And yeah,
they might be selling ghosts. It's Halloween time.
They are seeing ghosts.
I think that's what happened to my buddy Sam Darnold. I think it's too much Halloween going on, and I don't know what was on that field.
He is not the only young quarterback who Bill Belichick has made look bad. I mean, that was a very tough night, and in fact, it was just made worse by that quote leaking out. Not an easy quote to dissect. I mean, I think the statement was that he wasn't seeing the field well, or he wasn't seeing the defenders where they were, or he wasn't seeing things develop. But I don't know how you translate that to I see ghosts. I'm not sure that definition. But regardless, it was a long night for Sam Darnold.
Well, and you know what? I love Adam Gase focusing on, you know, how he was so upset that, you know, ESPN and the NFL Network aired that statement, and Darnold was mic'd up. But if I'm Adam Gase, I want to focus on the ghost comment and not the ghost that was put on the scoreboard in my big fat zero.
Yep.
So I think that's probably a little bit why a bigger deal was made of it, because he doesn't want to deal with the game plan.
Right.
It was awful.
Right.
It was awful. So, yeah, I feel for Sam Darnold. That's a really frustrating position to be in when you are just constantly – you have the opponent's jerseys in your face, all over you. You're throwing off your back foot. You have zero protection. It was rough.
Well, the Saints are not rushing Drew Brees back, but it does look like the Chiefs might be rushing Mahomes back. There are whispers he's going to start this Sunday
against
Green Bay. Sunday Night Football. Well,
jeez.
Look, as a fan, and certainly for the benefit of the league, everyone would love to see the matchup of Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes. That is a masterpiece theater performance. That is the one we all want to see. But Mahomes and the Chiefs need to think for the long term here. They've got a whole season at stake. Mahomes had an ankle injury, now obviously the dislocated knee, and it looked like he was going to be out for 4 weeks, and now they're talking about bringing him back this Sunday.
I know. Well, you know, Aaron Rodgers plays the best division that he hit, the record that he holds for the against the I can't even get this out. He plays the best against the AFC West opponents, to which Kansas City is one. He has an 80% win percentage, 114 QBR against AFC West opponents. And here come the Chiefs with, I won't even say a rusty Patrick Mahomes, because I don't think he's ever rusty. But it's going to be a great game. I think they don't want to put Matt Moore in front of that Green Bay defense. That's for darn sure.
Aaron Rodgers and his running back Aaron Jones and that Packers offense are going to tear up the Chiefs defense. 30-plus points on the board. And the Chiefs just won't be able to hold serve. They won't be able to keep up unless they have Mahomes on the field. This is the Packers game unless Mahomes comes back, and thus the urgency and thus the risk of rushing Mahomes before he's really ready to play.
So you're Andy Reid. What do you do?
I concede this one. I bench Mahomes. I take the week off. Give him some time. A loss this week to an NFC team is not devastating. I think you've got to think about the big picture. I think the division will be there for the Chiefs. I just don't want to rush Mahomes back. I think 100% healthy Mahomes is so vital to where they want to get. I think they're going to need an extraordinary Mahomes to get through the Patriots in the playoffs, and that means 100% healthy Mahomes.
That's a great point, because you've also got Aaron Rodgers coming off the best game of his career, where he's been the only Green Bay quarterback to get a perfect passer rating last week. So he is rolling. And here you got Patrick Mahomes, who's missed a few weeks and needs to get back up to speed. I'm with you.
Okay, one of the games I'm actually looking forward to is Carolina versus San Francisco.
You're all about Carolina today.
Well,
I love
I've got
it.
Kyle Allen fever.
You
know,
do.
A few weeks ago
you
was
do.
Gardner Minshew, and he stepped back just a bit.
But, as did Daniel Jones. So we need to stop our overreaction, right?
Well, that is the nature of the beast. There's a week-to-week nature to the league and certainly the way everyone reacts to play. But Kyle Allen has played well. And, of course, the 49ers are riding high with Jimmy G. It's really been their defense that have been so exceptional. But what I really look forward to is how well can Kyle Allen play against that 49er defense. 49er defense have made a lot of quarterbacks look bad this year.
No, they really have. And do you know, 49ers defense is number one in the league. It is not the Patriots defense, which also has looked very fierce. They are aggressive. They are fast. They are physical. They are fierce. This is going to be a real test for Kyle Allen for sure. And then you on the other side, you've got Jimmy G, who has not played what I see his best football. He's 14-2 as a starter. And what that tells me about Jimmy G is that, well, it tells me a lot about San Francisco as well, that San Francisco has got the pieces in place. He's not, he's more than a game manager, but he has not had to use heroics to win because the defense has held their serve, the O-line has protected him well, and he is a great leader. He came out of that Belichick system, learned under the best with Tom Brady. He knows how to command a locker room and lead this team. Kyle Allen's going to have an uphill battle. This is going to be a great game.
Yeah, credit Jimmy G. He's been somewhat mistake-free.
Absolutely.
He hasn't really lit it up. He hasn't had to take over a game offensively. Getting Emmanuel Sanders is going to be a great pick for him.
I think what it
really does is it gives him a guy who will be almost a security blanket. He can always find Emmanuel somewhere sitting down in his zone, and that'll help churn the chains. I think Sanders was just a perfect pickup for that team. Really glad for the 49ers they were able to do that.
I'm really glad for Sanders to get the heck out of Denver.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now the Raiders are coming to Houston. A tough matchup for you. You're a longstanding Raiders fan. You live here in Houston, Texas.
I love
them both.
I do love them both.
How confident are you the Texans can win at home? They've struggled at home.
I'm not confident. I mean, on paper?
On paper, they should win this game, right?
They should win this game. But the inconsistencies under Coach Bill O'Brien, I'm going to give it to him because of things like last week against Indy. 10 penalties, 54 yards. Gave Indy 6 first downs on penalties. That's inexcusable. That's from the top down. What can you say? I mean, as fabulous as Deshaun Watson is and how he can make things happen, you can't overcome those self-inflicted penalties. That's got to come from Bill O'Brien. And I trust John Gruden as a coach much more than Bill O'Brien. John Gruden is proven. And the culture change that he is invoking in Oakland is impressive because you think of how they started that season. Number one receiver gone in AB. There's top state safety in Jonathan Abram out first game for the entire year. I mean, they have had pieces losing Vontaze Burfict on suspension for the entire year. You know, trading Gary and Conley to Houston, and now he's going to face his former team. So, you know, anything can. It's on any given Sunday. The Texans should win this. I don't trust the Bill O'Brien Texans. Darn.
Well, Bill O'Brien, the GM, did make this trade for Gary and Conley, and there's something that just doesn't feel right in the sense that the Raiders are in the hunt. They certainly are contenders in the AFC West. They're not sellers, and they're coming to town to play the Texans in a game that they really need to win. And for them to trade Gary and Conley to the team they're facing, and the team they're facing, the Texans, desperately needed help in the secondary.
And yet they traded
the guy. Clearly, they don't think much of him.
Well, I think that they love the young guns that are coming under him. There's two of them specifically that they really like. And I think the issue with Gary and Conley is that this is his third year in the league. He hasn't been on the field much because of injuries. So I think durability-wise, he's having a great season this year. He's played in all 6 games. But the history, and it wasn't John Gruden's pick, and he likes his own people.
Yeah, he was picked under Reggie McKenzie, and those guys are not long for the Raiders, right?
No. So, who do you have? You're going.
I think I'll be at that game. And the Texans should take care of business at home. They really, I mean, other than the secondary, I think have the better team, and they are playing well or playing better with the offensive line play. They run the ball pretty well. I guess it would be one of those games where you'd look back and say, I mean, for the Texans season, this is a game they really need to win at home. They need to assert some dominance at home after struggling at home. So, yes, I see the Texans coming out with a win over the Raiders.
I hope so, because right now the Colts are atop the AFC South after beating the Texans only by a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
With all that I just said, the 10 penalties, 54 yards, giving them a first down every time you turned around. But the Colts' next four opponents have a combined 7-19 record, and then they come to Houston. So to me, that says, Texans, if you want to get atop the AFC South, you got to start winning these games now. No more, we need to have been better, we should have played better, self, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear it anymore. Win. You can do it. You've got the talent. Don't waste that defense. Don't waste that quarterback. And you finally have a line that can protect you. Now, injuries are killing them, including on the line with Tytus Howard out. Roderick Johnson, who replaced him, went out. I mean, my gosh, it's just been – and then their secondary, we can't – there really isn't a secondary.
Right.
So it's tough, yes, but that's part of the NFL.
Texans addressed a lot of their needs via trade earlier.
Yes.
Now we're at the deadline. Raiders have been rumored to be in the hunt for Vic Beasley, the standout defensive end of the Falcons. They could slide him in. That would be a nice pickup for their front.
That would be great for the Raiders. And honestly, the Falcons should be sellers.
Mm.
I mean, who's going to buy this season?
Right.
Good gosh. Poor Dan Quinn. I think he's out.
So when you look at the sellers in the league, Falcons certainly. Dolphins have already stripped themselves.
There's nothing left.
Devontae Parker is a wide receiver, is quality. I mean, I think there's a real possibility that somebody goes after Devontae Parker. It might even be the Packers. The other team that I just can't believe hasn't moved on Trent Williams is the Redskins. Why have they not traded Trent Williams yet? Williams has made it clear he's not playing. He's foregoing a lot of money. Jay Gruden's gone. Bill Callahan came in as head coach. And Bill Callahan, an old offensive line coach, hasn't been able to convince Trent Williams to come and join the team. And yet general manager Bruce Allen has not made the move. Trent Williams, as a left tackle, could garner some real draft capital.
Yes, left tackles are at a premium in the NFL. And I think you just said the problem. Bruce Allen's not making a move. Is this shocking in Washington? What have they done lately that's worth anything in Washington? My goodness, move this guy. And I think Bill Callahan is seeing, I see why Jay Gruden got fired. I don't have anybody. I mean, it's really tough.
You know that one of the rumors is that John Dorsey of the Browns has been calling Bruce Allen, trying to secure Trent Williams. The Browns offensive line is a mess. They need help.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield needs protection on his blind side. That's a deal that probably should happen. The Browns have both the draft capital and the salary cap room to take on Trent Williams, who's looking for a new contract.
Well, and the Browns, they should have a good game this week against the Patriots. That won't expose anything, you think?
Did you see Baker Mayfield came out this week and said the referees need to be more accountable for their actions?
Yeah, he's got another fine.
Well, he put a gun to his head. I mean, it just set everybody else up to say, well, you need to be accountable for the number of turnovers you're creating. He just can't keep his mouth shut. He needed to say nothing about the officials. He needs to put his head down and play.
He needs to lead that team. And, you know, when you have more television commercials, more interceptions than you have television commercials, that's not good. Because he's on that commercial every single second. I turn it on. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's Baker Mayfield again. Take care of your business, buddy, and then talk. You haven't earned anything yet. You haven't done anything yet in the NFL. Yes, you won the Heisman. Yes, you brought, you know, OU to the playoffs, whatever. You have done nothing. The slate starts over in the NFL. This is a different game. You have weapons all around you. Do something. Shut it and do something.
All right, when we come back, we'll look at what the Cowboys might do at the trading deadline. That up next on First and 10, SB Nation Radio.